To be turning to Acts chapter 2 this morning as we continue in our study of the book of Acts. Actually, we'll continue in our introduction to the study of the book of Acts. This is lesson 4, and we're still just introducing. I hope to finish that today. If I don't, we will certainly finish it next time. But if we don't, we'll get close today. Last time we talked about how many people believe that the book of Acts is the birth and the growth of the church, the body of Christ, and that it's a pattern that we should follow there in the early part of the book of Acts. We looked at a few things that show that makes that a problematic statement. We're going to look at a few more this morning because we say that that's not so, that the early part of the book of Acts is not the birth of the church, the body of Christ, that it's actually just a continuation of the kingdom ministry that was to Israel from the Gospels. Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The audience in the early part of the book of Acts is clearly Jewish. The message is clearly Jewish because the subject is still the kingdom. It's still the message of accepting Jesus as their king, as their Messiah. And people will say, but it says in Acts chapter 2 that the church was added to. Yes, it does. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 46. So after Peter preached, it says this in verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." There it is. There's the church. I mean, don't tell me the body of Christ didn't start in Acts chapter 2 because it said so right there, right? No. No, it didn't. Not quite. It said the church, yes. It did not say what church. It did not say the church, the body of Christ. And note also that they were meeting where? In the temple. Should we be doing that also? I mean, if the church, the practice for the church is here in Acts chapter 2, should we also be meeting in the temple? No, because they were Jews. Yes, exactly. They were Jews. This is the Jewish messianic church that was being added to, not the church, the body of Christ. You have to be careful because it's not every time you see the word church in your Bible that that means this church, the church for today, the church, the body of Christ. This was the messianic kingdom church that was added to. You know, there was also a church in the wilderness. The Israelites, as they were wandering, the Hebrew people, when they were led out of slavery from Egypt, they wandered for 40 years, and there was a church out there, and in the scriptures it's called the church in the wilderness. The word church, as it's translated from the original language, whether it be Hebrew or Greek, in each case, it just simply means a gathering of people. And then you look at it in the context, and then you understand that it's a gathering of people for the purpose of serving the Lord or worshiping the Lord, things of that nature. And so then it's translated church in that case. At this time, we see that there's still a distinction between Jew and Gentile that's taking place at this point. Even though the heading of your Scofield Bible says right here, the birth of the first church, don't you fall for that. I'm so appreciative for all that Mr. Scofield did. Great man, marvelous man. Didn't even become a Christian until later in life. And then when he did, man, was he on fire for God. And studied the scriptures and put together all kinds of cross-references and things of that nature. But he also believed that the birth of the church was in Acts chapter 2, like many denominations do. Again, when your Bible says church, don't automatically think that it's the body of Christ, because here again, it's the messianic kingdom church. In the early chapters of Acts, is it a pattern that we should follow? If so, to whom should we be preaching? The Jewish church in the early part of the book of Acts was beginning to be scattered, right? They were believing that Jesus Christ really was the king, the Messiah. And so those who thought he was just an impostor, they began to persecute them. So they were being scattered all throughout the land. Saul of Tarsus was one of those who didn't believe Jesus was the king, the rightful king, the rightful Messiah. And so he was persecuting these people who were believing that and teaching that, not only scattering them, but going so far as to chase them down in other parts of the world with letters from the rulers in Jerusalem that says he has the authority to go arrest these people and bring them back. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. It says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to any who would hear." Not what it says. After the stoning of Stephen, I mean, there were more people even scattered. The persecution's getting even more serious. Against all of Tarsus being one of those, persecuting them, chasing them down. But even after they were scattered, they were preaching the word to who? To nobody but the Jews only. Now, if the early part of the book of Acts is a pattern for the church, the body of Christ, to follow, why aren't we just preaching to nobody but the Jews only? That's who they were preaching to at the time. Turn back to Acts chapter 2. When Peter stands up and preaches on this day, Acts chapter 2, preaches again in Acts chapter 3, it's the Jewish people that he is addressing. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're going to get there in the course of time in the study. But I want you to see Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, 'Men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem.'" How many Gentiles do you think he meant to address there? "The men of Judea, all you that dwell in Jerusalem." Look at verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words." Look at verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Therefore, know and understand all the wonderful things that have been done for you at the cross of Calvary." No, that's not the theme of Peter's message. The theme is, he was your king, you rejected him, you murdered him, and that blood is on your hands. Repent, have a change of mind, change of heart. "You men of Judea, you men of Israel, all you that dwell in Jerusalem." Again, the audience is Jewish. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. "So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?'" Some will say, well, that was the audience. That's where he was at. Just like if I went out into town here and I said, "Hey, all mineral wells," it's just because that's my audience. No, it's more than that. It's not just that was the audience. And we go from here all the way down to Acts chapter 11, and we see that the message is still being preached to none but the Jews only. Couple of caveats there, right? There was the eunuch that Philip chased down. In the course of time, we'll see, though, that that eunuch was on his way back home from Jerusalem because he had been there for the feast. So he was a proselyte, a convert. Yes, he was a Gentile, but one who had converted to the Jewish religion. Oh, but what about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? That's right. Peter went and preached to Cornelius, and Peter didn't want to, but he did. And then when he got there, things started happening that he didn't understand. And when he got back, they all confronted him. "Why did you go and preach to a Gentile?" And Peter said, "Because God says this is the start of the ministry to the Gentiles." No, that is not what he said. Do you know what he said when they said, "Why did you go and preach to a Gentile?" Do you know what his answer was? Anybody? Exactly right, Brother Jim. "I don't know. God told me, so I did it." Peter uses the keys to the kingdom. That's what it says in most Bibles. when he went and preached to Cornelius. He was still preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but it wasn't the church, the start of the church, the body of Christ. Nor was it the start of a ministry to the Gentiles. In fact, Paul has to come down later in Acts chapter 15 and explain what he's doing among the Gentiles. And there, Peter is able to say, hey, listen, even God sent me to the Gentiles. I didn't know what was happening then. But it is proof that God has opened the doors to the Gentiles through the ministry of Paul. And so in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, when they saw that the ministry of the circumcision, with the ministry of the uncircumcision was given to me, as the ministry of the circumcision was given to Peter, they give us the right hand of fellowship. So that tells you there's some differences there, some problems. They weren't preaching the same thing. Wasn't the same message. One was the gospel of the kingdom. The other was the gospel of the grace of God by the Apostle Paul. The fact that the apostles didn't go to the Gentiles in the early part of the book of Acts is generally attributed to Jewish prejudice, people will say. You know, they hated the Gentiles. That's why they didn't take this good news to the Gentiles. Well, you know, that view not only unjustly judges these men, but it also contradicts the teaching of the Word of God, where Jesus told those preaching this message not to go to the Gentiles, not even to the Samaritans at that time. Peter preached exactly what the risen Christ wanted him to preach, preaching that Jesus Christ really was their Messiah, confronting them for murdering their king, offering them the kingdom to them if they would only accept their king. A proper understanding of these issues is critical. It's very critical. Not only to the book of Acts, but I believe to the entire New Testament as a whole. If you don't understand what the book of Acts is really about, you're going to have a lot of issues with understanding the entirety of the New Testament. Let's look at some others. Acts chapter 2, you're still there, right? Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So the pattern we're to follow? After all, this is the birth of the church, right? This is a pattern we would do well to follow. Last time we talked about that. People who have the Acts 2 position, the church needs to get back to that. Everybody, go sell everything you have and come bring me your money. And, you know, I'll distribute to you as you have need. What does that sound like? Communism is what it sounds like. Does it work? No, not in our society today. It will work in the kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on a throne, ruling and reigning. It won't work today if you try it. Acts chapter 4. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and starting with verse 32. After Peter had preached again. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Early part of the book of Acts, right? Acts chapter 4. People say we need to get back to that. Is this what we are to do? Acts chapter 5, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who they sell their stuff, yeah, but they don't quite give all the money. They keep some back for themselves, right? But again, is this a pattern that we're to follow? They're judged because they didn't give all the money. Struck dead. Just as Cornelius Sam said in the quote that we read last time, if anyone even tries to follow this pattern today, they will certainly wind up frustrated. Because it will not work. This is not a pattern for the church, the body of Christ. This is a pattern for the Messianic Kingdom Church. And this is how it will be in the kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign. And that is the message that's being preached here. To the Jews only is the message of the kingdom. It's not the church, the body of Christ. It's not the gospel of the grace of God. It's just that they need to accept Jesus Christ as their king. The Jewish kingdom that was the subject of prophecy was postponed, though, right? It didn't come. And so all of this fell apart. It fell apart, and they were going broke. That's why Paul is later gathering funds from the Gentile churches for the poor saints at Jerusalem. You know how they became poor? Because they did this, but the kingdom didn't come. Instead, the kingdom was postponed. If we tried to follow that pattern today, we'd end up the same way. We'd have to have, you know, we eventually run out of money. We'd have to have people coming and ministering to our needs financially. The whole Jewish kingdom church was set aside. The whole kingdom gospel message was vacated. The Jews thoroughly and completely rejected Jesus as their king. So God ushered in a new program, a new church, the body of Christ, with a new apostle for that church, Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, who is a persecutor of those messianic Jews. Not one of the 12. Here's another thing. What about healing and tongues and other things of that nature? The sign gifts. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was doing those in his earthly ministry, do you know why he was doing those? It was proof that he was who he said he was. That he really was the Son of God. That he really was the Messiah. That he really did have the power over sickness and death and demons. That's what all of that was about. And he also gave his followers the ability to do that. And in the early part of the book of Acts, we still see that happening. We still see them going out and performing these miracles, these sign gifts. All of it was to prove that Jesus really was who he said he was. To prove that the kingdom really was at hand. And everything about that kingdom, the utopia that the kingdom is going to be, was possible because the Lord Jesus Christ was who he said he was. And he had power over all of those things. Yes?
What was the purpose of them selling their land
for the kingdom? Say it again.
What would be the purpose of them selling their land for the kingdom?
They just have all things common. No, nobody lacks. All their needs are met. Yeah, I mean, just as it said, nobody had need because none of them lacked because there was funds there. Everybody helped one another out. Whoever had more sold it, and they used the money commonly. Which, again, it'll work in the kingdom. It'll work for the Jews when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, but it only works under his leadership as the king of the kingdom. So if you try to do that today, again, we see it. It doesn't work because we have imperfect leaders. Thank you for the question. Any others? What's that? That's fine. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. People grow up. A lot of people grow up having that indoctrinated in them that Acts 2 is the start of the church, the body of Christ. And to switch your thing, when you hear this, at first I know it must sound completely wrong to people. I grew up under this doctrine. And so it's so easy for me. And it's hard for me to understand how people have, when you look at these things, how they have that view. But I understand it's the view they grew up under studying. So it's hard to make that switch. And some people will say that. That's too hard.
Well, it's almost like you're, it's almost like you feel like you're using the wrong Bible.
Right. Right. Yes. Here's the thing, though. I appreciate that for those on recording that can't hear. She said, when you look at it, the verses do link together so that it looks like this is the birth of the church. Here's the thing you have to distinguish. Gentile salvation was never a secret. It was always God's plan and purpose for the Gentiles to be saved. And you can go back into the Old Testament and see those references where God says that, you know, the Gentiles would be saved, that they would be ministered to, a gospel would go out to them. But the big distinction, the big difference is the Gentiles, by prophecy in the Old Testament, are always saved through Israel. In other words, through Israel's rise, through the establishment of that kingdom with Jesus ruling and reigning in that kingdom, and then they would reach out to the rest of the world. There's nowhere in prophecy where it says the Gentiles would be saved because Israel rejects their king. There's nowhere in prophecy where it says Israel that the Gentiles will be saved through Israel's fall. It's always through Israel's rise. And that's the distinction. That's how you can go back and look at those verses, and it talks about the Gentile salvation, and it sure sounds like it's talking about the church, the body of Christ. But it's not. If you look closer, it's talking about the Gentiles that are saved through Israel's ministry. Hope that helps a little.
Charles, also in verse 47, where it's talking about that they met with one accord, it goes on to say, and the Lord added to the church. So the church was already established.
Right.
Wasn't
the beginning of a church there. The church, the Messianic Jewish Kingdom Church, was added to in Acts chapter 2.
And to the extent that a lot of confusion might result from the use of the word church, I read somewhere, you correct me if I'm wrong, that same word used here in Acts 2 for church was also used later, mainly in Acts.
Yes, the ecclesia, an angry mob at Ephesus. It's the when that angry mob came there, it's the same word, ecclesia, just a group of people that came. So again, you know, it's the context that says, well, that's not believers, so it's not translated church there. That's true. Any other questions before we move on to the sign gifts? All right, thank you for the questions. I do appreciate that. Sign gifts, again, what was their purpose? Their purpose was to show that Jesus really was the King, the Messiah. And God allowed those sign gifts to go so far as to those who later in the book of Acts, you know, not just the first part of the book of Acts, first half, but later on in Acts, as the Gentiles begin to accept that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God, they are also allowed to do these sign gifts. Why are they allowed to do those sign gifts?
Same?
For the same reason? To prove the validity of Jesus Christ. But look at this. I want you to look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 11, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, how they've rejected their Messiah. But look at verse 11. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? The nation of Israel. Is God completely finished with them in this stumble that they won't accept Jesus Christ as their King, as their Messiah? And that answer is no. Certainly not, he says. But through their fall now, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. You get it? These sign gifts are not only being performed among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles now. Why? To try to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Why are the Gentiles now? I mean, remember, they're dogs before. They're second-class citizens. But they're able to do all of these sign gifts now. So the hope is that it would provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12, now if their fall is riches for the world, that is, if they've been going to be set aside now, God's working directly with the Gentiles, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when the Jews are taken up as God's people once again? How much more will that fullness be? But once again, that program was set aside and God moved on from Israel. So there was no more need for the sign gifts. That's why those sign gifts passed away. The gifts of healing and prophecy and speaking in tongues, all of those things. Once that program was set aside, there was no more need for it. Why did they exist in the first place? Say it louder. Exactly. Because the Jews require a sign. And so that's why these are called the sign gifts, to prove that Jesus was who he said he was. Funny thing always occurs to me when we talk about these sign gifts is in Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus is preaching to them, and they came up and they said, "Hey, give us a sign. How many more do you want?" I mean, he was doing all of these things, making the blind people see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and cleansing people of leprosy and all of those things. And then they say, yeah, give us a sign. All of these things taking place were the signs. It was the sign gifts. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Jews require a sign, and certainly that's always been the case. God has always given the Jewish people signs that he was with them. Like when they were being led out of Egypt, they had the pillar of the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night that led them. So it was a sign for them that God was with them and leading them. And yet, they still weren't very obedient to God, even then. What's that?
They're stiff-necked people.
Stiff-necked people. I like that. Oh, as Stephen called them, stiff-necked people. So they were given one sign after another, and that's what those sign gifts were for. So then, the book of Acts is not, the early part of the book of Acts is not the birth of the church, the body of Christ. It's not a pattern that we should follow. It's not a pattern for our ministry, preaching to none but the Jews only. It's not a pattern for our finances, that we're to sell everything and have everything in common. It's not a pattern for our worship, that we are to worship in the temple daily with the Jews. I mean, how many more do you need? It clearly, it's Jewish, what's taking place here. To the Jewish kingdom presenting Jesus as the king. So the book of Acts is a transition, you see. How did we get from the Jews being God's people to the point where there is no difference now between Jew and Gentile? Because even in the kingdom, even in the coming kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, the thousand-year reign, there will be a difference, once again, between Jew and Gentile. Jews will once again have their privileged position before God, and Gentiles will once again be second-class citizens. So again, how did we get there from the Jews to the Gentiles? How did we get there from the transition of the ministry between the 12 and the kingdom of Israel to the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the church, the body of Christ? The first portion of the book of Acts deals primarily with Israel and then gives over to the process of that transition from the Jews to the Gentiles as the Jews continue to reject Jesus Christ as their king. They rejected him in the flesh when he was here in his earthly ministry, and then after his resurrection and ascension, They rejected him through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as well. And that's what's being recorded in the early part of the book of Acts. So then, if we want to know about the church today, we have to go to the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And there's a reason for that. It's because he is the one who is given the message for the church, the body of Christ. It's to and through the Apostle Paul that we learn about the distinct truths that are for us today. A couple of passages I want to read from you. Or not from you, but to you. First one is from Sir Robert Anderson. He says, "Suppose again that the epistles of Paul were there, but the Acts of the Apostles was left out of the Bible. How startling would appear the heading, 'To the Romans,' which would confront us on turning from the study of the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How can we account for the transition thus involved for that? How can we explain the great thesis of the epistle that there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, both being by nature on a common level of sin and ruin, both being called by grace to equal privileges and glory?" That's what the book of Romans teaches, you see. "The earlier scriptures will be searched in vain for teaching such as that. Not the Old Testament merely, but even the Gospels themselves are seemingly separated from the epistles by a wide gulf. The bridge over that gulf is the divine purpose for which the Acts of the Apostles has been given to the church. The earlier portion of the book is the completion and sequel to the Gospels. Its concluding narrative is introductory to the great revelation of Christianity, the church, the body of Christ." From Dr. Stan. Dr. Stan says, "Thus, Acts, so far from being the story of early day Christianity, is from beginning to end the account of the fall and failure of Israel. It explains step by step how and why the chosen people of God had to be set aside and salvation sent to the Gentiles apart from them. How and why the commission to the 12 had been suspended and another apostle, Paul, raised up to go to the Gentiles with the gospel of the grace of God. Hence, Acts is a record of successive crises, from Pentecost to the stoning of Stephen to the conversion of Paul to the council at Jerusalem, etc., etc. Peter dominates the scene in the first part of Acts, Paul in the later portion. The transition from the prophetic program of the kingdom, in which salvation was to go out to the Gentiles through Israel, to the new program, under which salvation was to go to the Gentiles apart from Israel, takes place entirely under Paul's ministry and can be traced in the gathering force of the statements made to and by Paul in this connection at Jerusalem and at Antioch and at Corinth and at Rome. At Jerusalem, the Lord said to him with respect to the Jews, 'They will not receive your testimony concerning me.' That was when he was first converted and the Lord sent him to the Gentiles. At Antioch, Paul said, 'Lo, we turn to the Gentiles.' Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. At Corinth, Paul said, 'From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles.' Acts chapter 18 and verse 6. And then at Rome, in the close of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul announced that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will receive it. Let no one consider from the above that we are anti-Semitic in our views or our sentiments, for we heartily love God's ancient people and rejoice of the glorious future that awaits Israel under the reign of the Messiah. Meantime, we remember the word of God to the Gentiles. 'For you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief.'" It's again from Romans chapter 11, further down from where we were looking earlier. "Even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy? For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's Romans chapter 11, verses 30 to 33. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Wednesday night, Brother Ulrich was talking about whether or not you should be circumcised in the ministry to the Corinthians there, and how some of them were believing that they had to be circumcised. That was Corinthians? And Galatians. Yes, Galatians. Thank you. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, there was a rumor that they were teaching the same thing. That's how some of them were able to subvert what Paul had taught after he left. They would come in and they'd say, oh, no, 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 we're teaching the same thing. Paul also teaches that the Jews, the Christians, have to be circumcised. And Paul said, if I taught that, then why am I persecuted? If he was teaching the same thing that the Jewish people were teaching, why was he being persecuted? It's clear that he wasn't teaching the same thing. And then he says, you know, and if I were, then where would the offense of the cross be? The offense of Christ. The offense of the cross, the offense of Christ, is that the shedding of his blood is completely, fully sufficient, and you don't need the law at all, any works. Again, it's not that the law ever saved anybody. It was a misunderstanding of it. Nobody was ever saved by any works, period. But Paul didn't preach the same thing that the others were preaching. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Jewish people did not like it that the Apostle Paul was going out preaching among the Gentiles. That's what eventually led to him being a prisoner and writing these prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He said, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. The dispensation of the grace of God. That's where we live today. And who was it given to? The 12? And Paul learned it from them? No, Paul in Galatians again stresses that that is not true. He did not learn it from anybody except the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. That this dispensation that we are living in today, this current economy of God's purpose and program for the church, the body of Christ, was given to who? Paul. So how is it possible that the church could start in Acts chapter 2 when Paul hadn't even been converted yet? He wasn't even converted until Acts chapter 9. How that by revelation, he says in verse 3, he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, before the book of Ephesians, the other letters, the Thessalonian letters, Galatians, the Corinthian letters, the book of the Romans. He had already written about this purpose of Jesus Christ. He says, by which when you read, you may also understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Wasn't made known before. You can't go search it out in the Old Testament. It's not there about the church, the body of Christ. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable, untrackable is another perfectly acceptable way of translating the Greek word that's used there. Untraceable. Again, you can't go out back to the Old Testament and track it down and follow it, because it didn't exist there. What you find there about the Gentiles, again, is in relation to the Messianic Jewish kingdom program. This here from the Apostle Paul is something completely different, something completely new. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Not hidden in the Old Testament and just not understood. No, hidden in God, kept a secret, not revealed, didn't exist, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. And it continues on there, but again, to the Apostle Paul. Through the Apostle Paul. So as we dive off into the book of Acts next week, yes, we'll finally start. Acts 1:1, next week. You'll understand that what's happening in the early part of the book of Acts is not the birth of the church, the body of Christ. It is a continuation of the ministry of the Messianic Kingdom program, presenting Jesus Christ as the King for that kingdom, having nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ that we are part of today. Thoughts? Questions? Comments? It's okay if there's confusion. It's all right. It takes time. It does. All I ask is just an honest hearing. That's all I ask.